We're continuing our coverage of today's deadly attack on the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. At least two gunmen stormed its offices in Paris earlier today, killing at least 10 journalists and two responding police officers. Video captured the gunmen saying, "We have avenged the Prophet Muhammad." Charlie Hebdo is a weekly satirical publication that began in 1970 in France, and it's no stranger to controversy. For decades, it's fiercely defended its right to publish stories and cartoons that have offended many, including Muslims, Jews, Catholics, and others. The magazine has faced threats of violence in the past. In 2011, its offices were destroyed with a gas bomb. Standing in front of the charred wreckage of those offices in 2011, Stéphane Charbonnier, the magazine's editor, described the scene to the BBC.
There are the walls left, but there's no electricity, no computers, and there's nothing left to be able to publish a normal magazine.
A journal normal for une parution normale, quoi.
This was where the layout was done, where the magazine was conceived, and there's nothing left. This tells me that we're right to publish the magazine, and we're right to continue defying Islamists and make their lives difficult as much as they do ours.
We want to caution that NPR has not yet confirmed the names of the dead, but French media is reporting that French officials say Charbonnier is among them, along with several of the country's top cartoonists. NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik is here from New York. And David, just a terrible day. Tell us more about Charlie Hebdo, the magazine.
Well, Charlie Hebdo came out of the ashes of an earlier satiric magazine that was essentially shocked French society in 1970 by joking about the death of the French leader Charles de Gaulle. That magazine was shut down. They effectively walked across the street and created a new one. Charlie Hebdo was named in part because of the cartoon character or comic strip character Charlie Brown. But it was always a satiric left-of-center publication intended to goad, to bait, and to tweak and sometimes to really burn public figures and major institutions in France. You mentioned a number of them. Certainly, they've gone after the Catholic Church. But in recent years, as you've seen tension between a French society and state that is fairly rigidly and ritualistically secular, to the greater expression of faith by observant Muslims, both immigrants and people who have lived there perhaps longer in France, there's this rising tension, and the publication has sought to insert itself into that by basically saying, you know, you say we can't represent the Prophet Muhammad, we're going to do that. If you remember, in Denmark, there were these publications of these cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. They republished those in 2006, and a lot of French public officials say, you know, you're inciting protest and problems here by doing that. You just played the clips from the firebombing, you know, done after they had named the Prophet Muhammad the guest editor, and they said 1,000 lashes if you don't, you know, find yourself laughing from the issue. So, you know, these are guys who were very intentionally trying to test the limits and to say nothing is beyond satire in French society.
Well, just a question, though. If the magazine was shut down because of depictions of Charles de Gaulle, is there some imbalance there that it's not being shut down for what Muslims see or some Islamists see as insulting depictions of Muhammad?
Well, look, I mean, in Europe, in France, there's greater sense of the protections of people against expressions of hate on the basis of faith and other forms of identity, you know, because of the long shadow that the Nazi era casts on that continent, and their sensitivity to you know what happened to Jews there and to others as well. By the same token, you know, France sees itself as a child of the Age of Enlightenment, the 18th century, as a place where freedom of expression is an important value, where freedom of the press is cherished, and you know, while there were attempts by some Muslims to sue Charlie Hebdo for some earlier provocations and covers and cartoons involving Islam, those were unsuccessful in court. So, you know, the idea that this should be shut down by the state seems to be against what French society wants to stand for. And by the same token, you know, this is clearly an act of terrorism in response to what seemed to be some very incendiary or intentionally provocative images.
Well, the AP is reporting that the Paris prosecutor spokeswoman, the spokeswoman for the Paris prosecutor, has said that the paper's editor, Stéphane Charbonnier, who went by the pen name Charb, and a cartoonist who went by the pen name Kabu, were among those killed. Again, NPR has not been able to independently verify that. But just, I mean, terrible, terrible loss there, human loss. But also we're thinking, you know, satire is under attack. Nowhere near the same, but there was the hacking attack after the Sony film, hacking attack presumably by North Korea. This satire is under attack.
Well, there seem to me to be related if one accepts the American government's contention that that hack of Sony Studios really was a result of the North Korean dismay and outrage over the what was intended as a caper film, the interview about the assassination of the leader of North Korea. But there's some disparate strands as well. You know, Charlie Hebdo is a form of journalism, you know, satiric, somewhat similar perhaps to the British publication Private Eye, or if people remember the now defunct magazine Spy, which was around in the 1980s and 90s, it seemed as though every issue was trying to find a new sacred cow to go after. And this publication devoted itself to that, to mockery of figures that it, and beliefs and institutions that it found to be not just distasteful but antipathetic to what its values were and that the idea of sort of liberty. Satire is a kind of pure form of that. And while, you know, I don't think Seth Rogen and James Franco were intending to make grandiose political statements, they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were jabbing in a nonviolent way but a rhetorically effective way against someone who perhaps in some ways fears mockery most, fears not being taken seriously. And I think in terms of the interview in North Korea, that's a key facet of what appears to have been the response there.
Well, David Folkin, we just have a few seconds. What do you think happens now? There's the hashtag that's going around the world, Je suis Charlie, people saying I am Charlie in solidarity. But will this have a chilling effect? Will they move away from publishing these cartoons?
Well, you're seeing a number of major French news organizations offer the help of facilities or equipment or anything that's needed to those survivors at the magazine to keep it going. But, you know, we talk in this country about the chilling effect of incursions against First Amendment rights, against the ability to publish or broadcast what we have reported or think. In this case, this is a very literal chilling effect, and I think it will make people think twice a little bit, in addition to other attacks on journalists around the world.
NPR's David Folkenflik. David, thanks so much.
You bet.